Welcome back, guys. This is Porrick here from the Humble Coach podcast. I am joined today by a guy I know for a little while now, Ronnie Ward. And Ronnie has a company called OptimumBody.ie. He's got a very unique story and an interesting story when it comes to therapy and pain management and movement quality and everything in around that. So, Ronnie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, my friend. Pleasure to be here.
No worries. So I suppose we'll start off, Ronnie, with a little bit of your background and how you got into becoming a therapist. Kind of give us a little bit of a spiel on that to be great.
Yeah, no problem. So I suppose where I first started off as a job was I was a plumber for 15 years. But within that, I was always reading and studying up on the human body, the anatomy. I was always involved in sports since I was like 5 years of age, athletics, basketball, rugby, soccer, Gaelic, hurling, and so on and so forth. But it wasn't until about, I'd say 2010, maybe earlier, that I just literally got fed up at plumbing. I didn't want to be at plumbing anymore. So I remember coming home and I just saying to my wife, one young child, and I said, I'm just not happy at plumbing. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, what do you want to go at? And I said, I don't know. So it took me about a day to figure out where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And I heard about this neuromuscular therapy course that was happening. So I said, geez, I'll give that a go. That looks good. And I remember I rang on the Friday, and that Saturday I was sitting in the classroom up in Dublin, and there was this guy talking about the scapula and the shoulder blade, and I'm there going in my head, what am I doing here? I should be hanging radiators. But at the same time, I knew what the guy was talking about. It wasn't double dutch to me. So from there, I started with the NMT, and about 3-4 months into that, I quickly realized that, you know what, I want to keep learning more. So I started learning anatomy trains, Tom Myers stuff, and then I sussed that out, and I ended up going over there doing that whole course, the KMI course. But when I was halfway through that, I decided to become a personal trainer. So I was kind of juggling the NMT, KMI, personal training, and running a plumbing business with 4 lads and a very young family. So life was very busy, and then I just made the move. I just dropped the tools, gave it in, and I made the transition from plumbing to where I'm at now. I set up Optimum Body. So transition or the decision was quite easy because you just follow your gut instincts, follow your heart. And as I say on my website, it's like I just did it for happiness because I was not happy. But the transition was very hard because your head for 15 years is doing one thing and your heart is saying, no, you need to go here. So I needed to have plenty of support from my friends, my family. And thankfully, I got that. So I suppose I started off year one doing a lot of KMI stuff. And from there, as I was training, I kind of branched into do some very detailed nerve and artery work with one of the teachers. So I'm back over again, studying more. I process things very quick. I take it on board really quick, use it, take what I want from it, and go, right, what's next? I get bored very, very quick. I think really, really quick. I suppose that's from the plumbing. It's like ding, 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 ting, 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 ting. So I did a blast of stuff in between those 3 or 4 years I did. Anatomy in Motion, PDTR was the last one. I did NKT, Zero Balancing. Let me see. I think that's pretty much it. So there's a vast amount of courses done. And again, it's like I know plenty of people who have twice as much done as me, yeah, but they literally haven't got a clue what they're at with the courses. Mm-hmm. So I literally stuck with what I was doing. I literally drained that course dry of all the information I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And then I processed it and made it my own. I'll always make something my own to suit me, to suit how I interact with my clients. And that's kind of the way I am up until now. So you have to forgive me. You have to keep on track, me, Porrick, because I will ramble.
That's all good. That's not a problem. Yeah, I suppose so, like that's a really interesting. a really interesting route to your current therapy practice. I suppose looking at that then, and knowing you from kind of different athletic backgrounds, like with
kickboxing
and things like that, would that have been I suppose more of a driving force to kind of help your decision, or did you have particular, I suppose, experiences with people with distinct therapy needs that you wanted to kind of go down a little bit more that road, or was it just a general interest?
Yeah, great question. And I get asked this probably every day with clients, because when I tell them the story, plumber, basically it boils down to my own injuries. I wouldn't call them injuries, my own pain, my own experience with pain. It kind of started off when I was 17, 18. Again, I was very highly driven with sports, and hurt my back. And I remember just playing a game of basketball, back was sore. And then it was one summer I couldn't get out of one of the guys' cars. I was just literally in very bad pain. And I was always told it was a disc, it was this, it was that. The usual, I was discs, muscle stuff that I was being told. And then around 22, 23, it got really bad. My back got really bad. I literally was in the back of the van plumbing, and I couldn't get out. I literally, the nerve, my sciatica nerve was literally on fire. So I went to the hospital and told me that my disc needs to be operated on. And I just said, what does that mean? I haven't got a clue. No one could tell me anything. They want to cut me open. They want to do this. And here I am, trying to run a business and so on and so forth. I was like, no way, petrified, scared to the living crap out of me. But from there, I started looking for help off of therapists around Galway. And I was getting just bits and pieces. I was getting nothing really. That they were all telling me it's this, it's that, but yet I was still experiencing pain. So year one, year two, year three. And I kind of came on board. I came on, thankfully, to a man, the first Rolfer in Ireland, Seamus Keane. What an amazing man. He literally just, he was probably the main influence for me to transfer over into the world of body work, we'll say hands-on work. But I did a lot of sessions with him. You know, I had the money. I was plumbing, so there was no problem. It was very much a structural base. But I was okay. I was able to survive, but I still had pain. I'm still struggling every day. I'm trying to do deadlifts, trying to do whatever, and it just wasn't nice. So I just went, as I said, at my intro, I just started studying and bits and pieces, but learning about my body, learning about how the human body works. So that was the main driving force up until maybe about 3 years ago. Am I rambling? Will I stop?
Oh, it's working nicely. Yeah, but like that though, I suppose like a lot of people would have come from those different experiences.
Absolutely.
Issues. And I assume now, and I know a few people who've gone to you, and knowing you myself, they rave about you, and they rave about your treatment methods. But I suppose like that, have you a particular general philosophy towards your treatments, or does it vary quite a bit, or is it a few kind of central principles?
Yeah, the approach, it's like when I set this up, I wanted it to be a lot different, because again, with all the experience I have personally. So if you hit me up with a phone call, you say, Ronnie, I want to come into you, the first thing you get back off me is an email. So the email will have a breakdown on what to expect, how much it is, where I'm based. So there's no guesswork from you. You're not wondering, you're not worried about where, how to get to me. And I am different. There's no two ways about it. And it's like, it just gives you that sense of ease. Okay, this is what I'm expecting. And then my history questionnaire form is there with the email. There's 2.5 pages with that. So I always ask the client to fill that out and return it back to me. So before we meet, I have a very good idea of your history. From when you were born up to now, I know your complaints. So I have your story in my head. So you're not literally opening the door and going, okay, how can I help you? So I call it going dark into the session. I hate that. Okay. Now, the main thing when I have all that on board is to be honest with the person. There's too much BS out there with therapists, doctors, whoever, and they're just pretty much making up crap to tell the person, this is what I think is going on. So if I don't know, you will be the first to know. I don't know. It's very simple. I don't know what's going on, but I can refer you on. But generally, with all the stuff that I've done, I'm not bad. I can literally piece it together with you. So I tell the person, you have to get on board with this. This is not my craft. This is your responsibility. Yeah. I'm here not to fix you, not to cure you, not to heal you, but to facilitate your healing. Yeah. This is what I'm good at. I'm not good at fixing, curing, or whatever. That can't be done. But what I am good at is kind of like a coach, if you want to look at it that way, for your listeners. It's like piecing together what is going on, and first of all, what are your concerns and all this? What are your concerns? What do you think is going on? Well, the doctor told me I have a herniated disc. Okay, what does that actually mean? Is that common? Is that stuff we see every day on a 50-year-old person? So it's like, I use two words always. It's like, let's expand on our knowledge, which will give us a whole new meaning. And once you kind of sit that, I have a whiteboard and I'll draw stuff like that. And it's like, let's just piece together what has been said. And usually the people are living in fear because of what has been said to them by the doctors and physio. So that's the first thing I have to figure out with the person. I'm not really interested in their symptoms. I'm interested in what physios and doctors said to them, not what they did, but what they said. And then we got to say, all right, let's see if we can disprove that. Like, the biggest thing here is, I suppose, weak glutes and weak core and all this kind of stuff. And you tell that to someone who does CrossFit, your glutes are weak, buddy. And don't say anything. That's equivalent to telling someone you have cancer. They will go away and they will drive themselves into the ground to try and make their glutes strong. Okay, so yeah, it's like piecing together all the puzzles. There's never any mystery. There's this lack of information. Mm-hmm. And when we have all of this into the pot, it just depends on what my approach is. Is my approach going to be like, are you coming in for performance? Are you trying to increase your range of motion? excuse me, or are you in persistent pain? So my approach would be two completely aspects there. Like, I'm not going to be treating the person with persistent pain the same way of performance. Generally, with a person with persistent pain, I won't even go near their posture. Yeah. I won't even touch their posture, that word posture, because you start telling someone who's living in persistent pain for 20 years, 10 years, your shoulder's a bit low there, and your back is, and your pelvis is, in an anterior tilt, and your center mass is shifted over. You're going to actually make them worse in their thoughts and their psychological beliefs about themselves. So we want to instill belief and give them that self-efficacy back into their lives, because doctors and physios and wherever you want a therapist, they kind of took responsibility. In other words, I'll fix you. Yeah. And then when the fixing is not doing, it's not happening, the person then says, well, wow, that guy told me, he's the best physio in Galway. Mm-hmm. That guy told me he can fix me. Yeah. And yet, he didn't do anything. I must be really bad. And then they meet me, and I'm usually in my bare feet, in a tracksuit or shorts, and I'm sitting there telling them all these things, and it's like, you can see them, like, it's like, who is this guy here? So there's all of that going on, you know? So my day is very, it's very interesting. Again, it could be anything from a 7-year-old child to a 90-year-old person. It doesn't make a difference to me. The key thing is interacting and getting that trust. So that's, I suppose, my philosophy.
And I think, like, that's really interesting. Like, that's just to jump ahead a little bit to one of the other questions I had for you. I can see, and it's the benefits of that kind of holistic approach, or very person oriented, or individuals oriented, and their own particular story, but also what they. Like you said there, what they have built up, what kind of big mad stories that have been built up with them. So with all the physios, their doctors and the whole lot, like, if you go into a hospital, you go to the doctor first and you've got a sore back or something like this, or you have some sciatica, and you're going to end up going into potentially going into the hospital system here, which is just madness. Yeah. And you're going to be getting all of these other stories and it's just perpetuating your own worry and your own nervousness about approaching anybody like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think that's where, I suppose, because you can speak about the benefits of that type of approach compared to what you would have, what people would have previously encountered. And have you, I suppose, like that, you would obviously know, especially with the courses you would have done and the experience you'd have there. It's very analytical, but also it wouldn't be super well known by most kind of most people. So it would be not very technical necessarily. Well, it would to an extent, but it is quite detailed, and it means you need to take responsibility for what you're actually trying to improve on. You can't just kind of go, okay, well, there's a pill for that, and there's a pill for this, and
yeah,
oh, there's a massage for this. It's not exactly like that. So, I suppose, yeah, that's where that type of approach is really, really helpful, I think.
Take the tip of the person who hurt you back in any gym. Hurt their back, and then a week later, still have the pain. 2 weeks later, they still have the pain, so they decide to go to the doctor. So the doctor, I did a bit of piece on my Facebook page there recently. The doctor has a couple of magic words that he'll throw out there. So disc is always a lovely one. They love throwing the disc out. So they said, you know what? We'll call him John. Do you know what, John? Go and get an MRI. So John goes the MRI. Now, John is 42. Mm-hmm. Right? So John goes again, MRI. He's still at the pain. The MRI results come back. And the doctor then said, geez, John, you have wear and tear, and you have a bit of a disc issue there. Do you know what? We'll just be on safe side. We'll send you a specialist. Now, all this could take a month. And within that month, John, his stress levels have gone up, but also he might be under pressure with work. His finances might be bad. His kids might be sick. He's trying to train, but he can't train. So he's getting stresses from all sides, from the biological, psychological, and social aspects. So they're all coming at him. Sits down, knocks out another 250 euro for the specialist, and the specialist says, ah, you know what, just rest up. You know, just give a bit of a rest, right? And you have all these things going on, so we'll keep an eye on it and come back next year. So that's a year, and John will slowly make his way back to the gym, but he'll probably keep doing the same thing he's doing because that's his knowledge.
Yeah.
So what his knowledge is based on what that doctor told him, what the specialist told him, and it means jack shit, excuse my French,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, he same John knocks on my door. John knocks on my door and I hurt my back. Okay. And he has the MRI. I go, John, did you ever read that MRI before? No, I don't know what's on it. Okay, let's have a read of it together. Okay, John, what it says here is that you have A, B, C, and D. Same thing the doctor listed out. But you know what? That is what we would see in any normal, healthy person of 42 years of age. I see no tumor. I see no cancer. I said, so other than that MRI, I don't really need that in my treatment. Only I'm really interested in what you think about that MRI.
Yeah.
And if there's any concerns from John based on that MRI, I need to work on that first. Mm-hmm. Then I say, all right, let's do some movement. And you bring them into movement. And it can be as simple as just rolling on the ground, doing a squat, doing a lunge, I don't care what it is, wherever I think I need to be done. And I do that, and while I'm doing that, I go, would you have a think about that there now? If there was a really bad bulging disc going on there in that lower back, do you think you'd be able to do all that rolling? And that's all I asked them. I let that settle. And they're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I go, exactly. So now what we've done is, I've let him literally rule out any negativity in his own head. I didn't start saying, now, that just shows you have no pain, you have no injury there, blah, 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 blah. It shows you that you're able to do it. So we're putting trust and faith and confidence back in his body again,
yeah,
through movement. Now, we'll work off that. And it's like, it's a different approach, and rather than being negative, 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 because if you look at any place that sells weight loss or whatever, they're always a negative first and they hit you with a positive. They'll say, are you overweight? And then take this tablet and make you lose weight.
Mm.
So, and that's the same with my treatment. It's the opposite. It's like, let's just see what's going on negatively, right?
Yeah.
Work with that and then branch from there. So can you see how the two different sides of the story, John will be back doing what he wants to do way quicker than going to a doctor, getting an MRI, and listening to their story, because they base it on a structural approach. In other words, it's all about the tissues, it's all about the disc, versus I'm about everything. It's about the biopsychosocial model. So it's a big difference.
But I think even on that point, like that definitely resonates with their that kind of story from the doctor's point of view and from the specialist point of view and the whole lot. They're all distinct, kind of very heavy factual orientation, and without taking into account that full realm of it, what he would have done in the past, what activities he would have done, and literally what you're doing exactly like that is trying to build that confidence back up so that he's definitely able to buy in more to self-care rather than just looking for external factors on it.
The doctors tend to treat the MRI, whereas I interact with the person who owns the MRI. Big difference, massive difference, massive difference, you know?
I suppose on that, Ronnie, like we'll kind of get a little bit more detailed now in general, and I suppose from my own kind of coaching viewpoint, and I suppose like that, I think I would have a quite a similar approach to the way that I would greet people and work with them at the start whenever they come into the gym that I kind of work in. We utilize a couple of different sessions just as a pure movement analysis, so it's never a case of like, okay, well, you can't do this. It's like, well, no, this is why we're gonna. There's a reason that this is a challenging movement for you, but we're also gonna be able to consistently adjust that up or down to whatever you can definitely achieve, and then we can work upwards from that. Do you find any really, really common elements that come into to your practice? And if so, do you see any real distinct ways we can well, even as coaches or educators or people in general, can really work on ourselves a little bit more, and take a little bit better care of ourselves on some.
It's a great question. It's again, it goes back to you know, from a coach's perspective, you know, knowledge and meaning. You know, if you have the knowledge, in other words, so rather than look at someone from, now I'm leaving pain, I'm parking pain aside because it's a completely different vocabulary than my uses of words. So we're on to performance. Is that okay? So we're on to performance. So the guy's coming to me and he tells me, look, I'm going to the gym and I can't do an overhead squat or whatever. So it's like, okay, why? And we see their posture. We do a posture analysis. If you want to look at that, we check out their movement and all three planes of motion. And that's where the detailed history comes in. It's like knowing with their history from any level, personal training, strength and conditioning. It's like, well, you did bust that ankle 10 years ago. You hurt that hip. You're in a car crash with that neck. You've made your surgery in your abdominal area. What have you been doing the last 10 years of training? So take that all in. When you take it all in, it's like, and I kind of did a piece as well last week on my Facebook page. A lot of people, even today, I had a very fit 32-year-old lady come in, and she just decided to run the streets of Galway. And she literally has a very busy life. She's there's a lot going on personally. Work is crazy, and so she decided to just start training for the streets of Galway, which is AK. So I was like, so you see what you did there? I drew it up. I said, you dumped in the training for the running on top of your life. I said, rather than having a structured plan of a year and go, right, I have my social life, my family life, my work, blah, 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 rest, recovery, then my training. It goes that way, but a lot of people have training first. So it's about priorities, and goals. It's like setting them and being realistic and sticking with them. It's about planning, I suppose. But again, people don't know how to plan it because they have no knowledge of it, which then it means nothing to them. You learn me half on knowledge and meaning until the cows come home. But that in essence is what I see. And I see it a lot with personal trainers that come in, and I'd ask them a simple question. Say if again, we'll use John. John comes in, and John wants to get strong, you know? And how would you get John strong? And it's like, oh, squats and deadlifts. All right, okay, cool. How long would it be before you'd have him doing that? Oh, definitely 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Oh, okay, wow. And you just put them at it. You warm them up and do it in, you know, that's how they learn. And again, the lady last week, she couldn't even do a bodyweight squat, even holding on to something. Like she was just flexing forward into her rib cage was literally touching off her knees. And I was like, what do you squat these days? And she's like, I'm up on 70 kilos and my personal trainer thinks I can do 100.
Oh,
and I'm there going, so why are you in here? And she was like going, because my back is sore. And I go, why are you listening to the personal trainer? And she was like, sure, I don't know. That's all I know. Yeah. And it goes back again to her knowledge versus her meaning. Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, with me, I notice and I'm going right back to primal stuff. I'm going right back to crawling, right back to movement, right back to rolling, setting things off there, dynamic stability. I just love those two words put together. I just love them. You know, has the person got that? If they haven't got that in every movement, lunging, deadlifting, or whatever way you want to word it, that needs to be worked on first. Yeah. Your mobility, dynamic movement, and then, it might be 6 months, whatever, then they're ready for weights. And again, it goes back to, in comes John, and John wants to lift weight. But the personal trainer goes, well, hold on, buddy, you know, we got to get your mobility in that right hip isn't great. And you have back issues, you know, and so on and so forth. Let's just see, can we work around that, work with it, so we might have to regress the progress. How does that sound? And it's up to John to say either yeah or no. But if he wants to progress, he should say yeah. But personal trainers and so on, they get pressurized into, you know, people want to go into a session and they want the living crap kicked out of them.
Exactly.
That's why I'm not, and I get slated for this, but I don't care. I hate group classes. I absolutely hate them more than hate, because I see them every day, you know, and people come in and they blame the poor personal trainer. They're like, the personal trainer had me doing all this stuff, and I'm not even in the class, I was just 20. At an hour, or the boot camps or whatever, and it's just boom, 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 kick the shit out. It's just, there's no technique, there's no balance, there's no structure, it's just sweat, and the person just finish, and they're in their car, and they're putting their child to bed, and they're sitting down watching Coronation Street, and they don't know anything. And then they're stiff as a poker the next day. So I always say a personal trainer has a harder job than me.
Yeah.
I always say it because can interact with the person a hell of a lot more, because again, John could go to a gym three times a week. I might see John once a month. So I only have that 90 minutes to work with John, but the likes of you guys can do so much more. It's unbelievable. Plus, John might live on his own. He mightn't have any family. So socially, they're running to the gym, and they're interacting with people. They're listening to the likes of you giving great information. So they're coming away feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
really interesting. Like I suppose for myself anyways, having been in training and in coaching for a lot of years now, like in a good few years, and in different assets, in different facets of it, not only like with CrossFit and even still, that would have changed very, very significantly over the last few years. It's an extremely different approach that we would have, even compared to a lot of places. And I think that's where, and we've purposefully oriented it in a different way, because we're just like, look, it's a nice brand and it's fantastic and it is a great methodology when it's done appropriately. But at the same stage, like you just said there, I got the sessions I did this morning in the gym, and they were basic kind of strength elements. There was some skill elements. There was some basic kind of gymnastic elements, and all the while very much, like the amount of times I had to adjust the movements for different people, I couldn't count on three hands, never mind anything else. And just constantly having to change it and adjust it and kind of go, okay, well, no, I don't know about this. I'd probably pull the weight back on this one. We'll probably go with just the bar for the moment on this one, and we'll adjust this back. Do you know what? This movement isn't going to work. And that constant mentality towards always able to either adjust it and push a little further if somebody isn't really in good form, you know. But also equally as able and as strong-minded to adjust it back and just be happy to say to the person, look, no, it's no issue. We can put this back.
Yeah.
There's another time. There'll be a lot of times to play with for to improve on this kind of stuff. And I do think you're right, though, that a lot of group classes and I would have definitely been guilty of it in the past, absolutely. Of that bigger kind of push towards intensity. But I think intensity is it's extremely relative to the person and like that to their story. We have enough people like that. I've no doubt that don't have a huge amount of other stuff going on in their lives, and it is a fantastic place for them to come and really become a stronger person because of it.
Absolutely,
it's really,
yeah.
really interesting. Ronnie, I suppose like that for me that kind of leads into the last question, the last couple of questions really of the lessons that we can kind of take from it, and I think that's one of the big ones is that consistent analysis of the person and what needs to be whether they need confidence or whether they need reassurance or whether they need actual education is a big, big part of it. And I suppose would you have any particular advice for kind of younger or older coaches or trainers in generally, or even athletes that would be kind of listening to this about how to try and really keep themselves healthy and happy as such?
Yeah, healthy and happy, yeah. Sure, yeah, some very good questions, Mark.
I'm getting a little better now, I'm getting a little better.
Yeah, healthy and happy, for me, and I talk about this a lot, it's about you. You know, I like the word you. If you don't know who you are, then you can't help anyone else. So I'll say that again. If you don't know who you are, then you cannot help anyone else. So if you're going through a lot of stuff in your personal life and then in comes John, again, poor old John's getting it on over tonight, but John comes in and your head is in a mush. Just in other words, if you're not present in yourself, present in your body, then you should literally say, look, John, you know, not today, or I'm going to get whoever else to fill in, because you have to look after yourself. Because when we're interacting with people, it can be exhausting. It can be exhausting because, again, you could do, say, 6 back-to-back personal training sessions, and you know, you're not just going to, the person's going to walk in, they're going to tell you a bit about their life.
Yeah.
They're going to interact with you because, you know, John might live on his own and he needs to have a chat. So you're chatting and you're trying to remember what the program is and so on and so forth, and you mightn't get a break. You know, you might be doing 6 or 5 or whatever back-to-back, you're getting a bit of water in, and then in comes Mary, then in comes wherever.
Yeah.
So look after you. And then, as I said, when you know who you are, you'll be able to branch off that. And it's funny, I find when I do interact with personal trainers and they come into me, they're always late. Always late. Always late. So keep a diary. The best tip I suppose I could give anyone is keep one diary. Don't keep 7 or 8 diaries. Keep one diary where your training's involved, where your work is involved, where your family life is involved, where your diet is into it, and you can piece together what's going on. And then I suppose from a training perspective, I love to I train for 4 weeks and then I back off down to 20%. I take that between, say, end of week 4 to week 5, I back off. Sometimes I do nothing. I hang out with my kids a lot more, whatever. And I'm recovering, I'm regeneration. Like I realize the stuff I can do, I was doing at 20, I can still do it now, but it takes me a hell of a lot longer to recover because I'm 38. I still think I'm 12, but I suppose that thing, but it all boils down to find out who you are and then always ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Ronnie, on that, going back over the experience you would have had and the different education courses you would have gone through, and especially some of the fantastic teachers you would have dealt with, have you any particular kind of books or resources that you're really, really a big fan of that people could get a lot from, or any particular coaches that you just kind of like a lot? I know the Anatomy of Motion guys are fantastic, and there's a lot of really interesting ones there. Have you any particular recommendations that you're kind of going through at the moment or anything? Or
but for me, it's like if you jumped into my head, you'd quickly run out. Like I'm reading anything from neurology to movement. At the moment, I'm reading a lot on sprinting mechanics, biomechanics. So I'm Dan Paff, Franz Bach, those guys, Lawrence Seagrave for the sprinting. So I'm kind of bouncing in and out of that. YouTube is always good. I get tired of reading sometimes. I'd rather be reading or on YouTube learning than sitting down watching Coronation Street or something like that. From a moving perspective, Gary Ward's book, What the Foot, That's a very good book. That really, I suppose that was the starting point for me from a moving perspective. And Gary's a very good friend of mine. I'm very biased towards Anatomy in Motion, but because he's a personal friend at the end of the day. But it really is a good book to pick it up, and it's the philosophy behind that. It's just to get you thinking a bit more, because again, we can be very quick to put everything into the box. If you start thinking in the box, you're always going to remain in the box. So I'm very much an outside the box thinker. Let me see what other books. Again, if you're interested in pain science, there's a brilliant Facebook page called Explaining Pain. There's about 8,500-9,000 members on that. Everything you really need to know. I just finished off another book called Explain Pain Supercharged. That is a book for everyone to read, I think. It's in relation to pain and how to interact with the person with pain, and it goes into the science about it. So again, that would probably, anyone who interacts with someone needs to read that book. That would be my top tip, I suppose. Explain Pain Supercharged, yeah.
Excellent stuff, excellent stuff. They're fantastic recommendations. Yeah, like there's a few of those on my list as it is.
I'll give you a loan of them.
Yeah, Ronnie, that'll cover us for the moment. That's a fantastic fantastic chat. Some really, really good takeaways there, so I really, really appreciate that, mate. What I'll do, guys, I'm gonna obviously put up Ronnie's website and his contact details and stuff like that up on the his Facebook page, which is a really, really good resource up on the show notes. And if you ever if you want to look him up, there's no better man for taking care of you. So Ronnie, appreciate you coming on, mate.
And thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I'll leave you to it, dude.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Super. Thanks, Ronnie. Cheers, man.
All right, man. Mind yourself. Bye bye. Thank you.